That shows them that you really care, that you really love. And I tell you what, you'll provide such an image for them to transfer over into their children. This means time to discipline. And I'm going to ask Margarita to come up now and share with you how God spoke to us about disciplining, discipling, and training children. And please, folks, I don't want you to get angry with my wife, because what she's going to share with you is in the book. This is from God. You don't have to make it your choice, but the way we've experienced it and the way we've shared it with congregations, people have taken it up, some people have ignored it. But 15 years down the track, the results have proved that what God says is not only right, but it's smart. Margarita, come.
You know, discipline in children is a very touchy subject. And before Dave and I were married, you know, we'd watch the youngsters, children in the church, and we'd say, oh, man. We got married and we don't want our kids to be like that. And every young couple says this, but I want to tell you, it was an event at a friend's house that really spoke to my heart. We were friendly with a young couple, very quietly spoken couple. Just went like this. Michelle, just like this. I guarantee that's even louder than what she called. And that little girl came running. Why was I ever impressed? How do you do that? She said, we only speak once, and then we smack. Oh, yes. And you know, from then on, God began to really challenge us in that area, that you speak once to your children in a normal tone of voice, and then you smack them. Well, we did that for quite a few years, and I said, I'm the worst one. So I needed David to just come alongside me and say, Margarita, you're shouting at them again. Just get back to the rules. Be quiet and then smack. And they knew. And when we would discipline our children, they would infringe, they'd be disobedient. We'd make them bend over and smack them with a rod. Not that one. At that time, we had a wooden spoon, and then later on, I found I was going through wooden spoons like you couldn't believe, because I would break them on these children. And I thought, man, there's got to be a better way. And they brought out like a wooden spoon, but it was flat at the end. We called it a butter paddle, for want of a better word. And the rod part of it was a bit stronger, so that's it. And then Deborah drew a face on it, a crying face and a laughing face. So. But we really had good times. When we look back now, we say, but I tell you, it was hard at the time. Because we were we were just about the only ones with children, and other people did other things, and they didn't think that that was right, and I became known as the lady that carried the wooden spoon in her bag. And years later, a lady came up to me and she said, do you still carry a wooden spoon in your bag? I blushed, I tell you. I thought, that our people remember me. But it was all in the process of how God was dealing with us. And then we came across a little book, which is now unobtainable, called Children's Funnel Frenzy. And I tell you, they advocated exactly the same thing. Speak once in a normal tone of voice, and then use the rod. And the reason that they use the rod, not your hand, is because the hands are for blessing. How often haven't you seen a parent raise a hand to a child and the child duck? There is nothing worse. You don't want your children to do that when you're out. And the other thing is that when you go out, you want people to say, wow, let's have them around. Their children are a pleasure to have. Maybe you don't do this, but I know we certainly did. We have dear friends in Johannesburg. They are just our very best friends. When they had no children, our children were little. And I tell you, when Dave went away, they would take me off to theatres and take me here, there, and everywhere. Bundle up my children, bundle up all the... they had children, and I had to say that. I'd love to have them now, but their children just are too much to even contemplate. And in the beginning, that was kind of our motive. And you know, I find that unless we're going to do it God's way, and the Word is full of it, I'm pleased to tell you, because now, looking back, you know, while you're going through the process, you think, is this really working? Is this really working? You know, is God doing anything? But we did it in faith and trusted God that He would achieve the results that were necessary in our children. And today, we can see the results of that disciplining. And we believe there's 7 root causes for not discipling and disciplining children. There's wrong attitudes and unbiblical ideas towards children and discipline. Number one, people say to us, they are little adults. Reason with them. I want to tell you, when your 2-year-old is standing there having a tantrum, they are not prepared to be reasoned with. There is no way you can reason with a 2-year-old that's having a tantrum. The only thing they understand is a good whack on the backside. And I don't know what the connection is between the ears and the bottom, but boy, it works. It works. All right. They are not adults. Please. They are children. And they need disciplining and training. In 1 Corinthians 13:11 it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man through poor speaking, I put childish things behind me. I believe today why so many adults act as children. They have never been disciplined and trained to put away childish things, attitudes, and ways. And the biggest one of those is selfishness. Okay? Number 2. But my children won't love me if I discipline them. We hear this all the time. I want to tell you from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful and diligent to discipline him. Discipline and they will respect you and be your friends later. I'm not talking about being your buddy and your mate and your pal. There is no room for that between you and your children. But your friend, yes. Peers are meant for buddy-buddy and matey-matey, but not parents. Please, you do not have to be a mate to your child, but their friend. That particular scripture, I had a very interesting experience in a series I did with a lady, with a group of ladies in Brisbane. This lady had been disciplining her child really diligently. She was a single mother. But her son would go to the father and she would have endless problems with him when he came back home. And she'd need to really be consistent and diligent in disciplining him with the rod. And she spoke to him. She said, I discipline you with the rod because I love you. And you know, out of this child's own mouth, he had not seen the scripture or heard it. And he just said, Mommy, then Daddy doesn't love me because he never disciplines me. So it's worth thinking about. Number 3. Shouldn't they be perfect automatically? Oh, I wish it were so. They should. But Adam messed it up for us. And what do we have? We have sin. And you can see in a child as young as 10 days old, that old Adamic nature coming through. That temper when they just can't get their own way. In Proverbs 22 and verse 15 it says, foolishness or folly. And that means it's not just a silliness, it's sinfulness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline and correction will drive it from him. correction, when they're doing things wrong, to correct them. And disciplining, training them to do the right thing consistently. And the emphasis on being consistent. And I want to tell you, we didn't always get it right. Believe me. I mean, I'm the one. Dave would be away for 15 minutes. I'd be, I'm just tired to do this. Shout, shout, shout. And I tell you, that shouting and yelling produces a barrier of resentment. It really does. And if we were just, and the children eventually got to know. I mean, I can remember a time before we really got into all this disciplining thing, and we were just speak once and then it's max, you know. And Paul was little, and he had infringed the rules. And I said to him, "All right, Paul, come on. What have I got to do?" He says, "You've got to bless me." And the tears were running down his face. "But Mommy, I'm really sorry." I said, "I know you're sorry, son. I know you're really sorry. But what did you do?" He says, "I disobeyed you, Mommy." And I said, "What have I got to do?" "You've got to thank me. But I'm really sorry, Mommy." I said, "All right, well, bend down." And I smacked him. And then I took him in my arms and I hugged him. I said, "All right, I love you. Why do I smack you?" "Because you love me. And you don't want me to grow up to be a brat." So if you want to instill that into your children, that's fine. But you see, as long as they understand that you're not doing it to be hard and horrible to them, that you really love them. Right, number four. They should be a blessing automatically. Oh, we wish, don't we? Are they blessings? Are your children blessings or are they burdens? Are they fun to be with or are they... They send you into a frenzy. It's awful, isn't it? In Psalm 127 and verse 3, we read, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from Him." They are, but they still need to be trained. They are a blessing as long as they are not naughty and ill-disciplined. We must train them and discipline them to become a blessing. And you will always, it's up to you to decide what you're going to do. The book I was telling you about is not available, but if you will read a book by Beverly and Simla Hay called Developing Your Child's Temperament, they speak about using the rod and having home rules and that the children need to abide in this. Developing Your Child's Temperament by Beverly and Simla Hay. Okay? Number five. Shouldn't they be allowed to express themselves? Now, in this day and age with all the new age philosophy that's going on, if it feels good, do it. Please. Don't fall for that one. Not at all. They can express themselves as long as they are not naughty, deceitful, destructive, or vindictive. And I tell you, you just need to watch children. They can be so awful. And I mean, they don't need any training to do that. That just comes out of the sinful heart. It really does. "Oh, my child's not sinful. Please, give me a break. I've raised three, I know." I mean, we would love them to be perfect. They're not. Don't kid yourself. They need to be trained all the time. In Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5 again, "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." And that we will not be put to shame when people talk in the gate. We have to discipline and train them and sharpen their gifts and their characters to keep them straight arrows so they won't walk and miss the target.